Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. Explore the mind of MLB All-Star, Silver Slugger, and Gold Glove winner, Brett Boone, as he sits down with his friends from the world of professional sports. Now up to bat, Brett Boone.
And we're joined right now by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Brett, the host of the Brett Boone Podcast, featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports every week. Insider calls presented by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers the professional-grade products you need delivered when and where you need them. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Booney, good morning to you. Good to see you as always.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, Booney. Did you see Abner Uribe last night against the Cardinals with a very exuberant celebration towards the Cardinals dugout? Do you see the celebration?
Who's that?
He pitches.
Okay. Yes, all right.
I'm like, all right, you got me. Now, again,
I see everything, Woodsy.
I know you do. It was nuts, right? We all saw him went, oh my God, and he's lost his mind. Well, then his manager, after the game, goes to the podium and just airs him out, basically. And I wanted to get your take on that because Booney
can't do that anymore.
Can't air him out or can't celebrate?
Can't. Oh, you can celebrate. We've established that. The horse is out of the barn.
That's right.
Comes to celebrate. You know, I've come around on it, too.
I know you have.
Come around on it. You can't bury him publicly now. How dare we? We've got to treat everybody with kid gloves.
Now, did you get buried publicly ever?
Oh, no, because I wouldn't do something like that. But
Lou Piniella never aired you out for a Booney bat flip?
No. But I'll tell you, he, when I was young and I first played for Lou, we had our battles. I mean, me and him almost went to blows a couple of times behind the scenes, and he'd say some things in the papers once in a while, and I'd come back and yell at him, what are you doing going to the... I always thought as a player, never will I air the dirty laundry publicly with the press. Never. Sure. It doesn't matter what problem I have with anybody. I've got nothing to say. We'll take care of things in-house. Yeah, and I don't think he really buried him publicly. He said he was embarrassed. It's not acceptable. That's not how we do it. I understand it. These are all disciplinary things, more of a college level.
Yeah.
That being said, it's not something that throughout the history of baseball hasn't been addressed. Just in modern times, it really doesn't. I personally think from a staff standpoint, from a manager or a coaching staff standpoint, you take care of that in-house. And the only thing I think with today's game, it is different because it's been established that that type of behavior is acceptable on both sides. I'm not saying the hitters either. I see the hitters doing some things and I just kind of roll my eyes like, whoa, you know, what's going to happen here? Well, the days of taking care of it, an eye for an eye on the field, have kind of faded. And sure, a lot has to do with the umpires not allowing it to happen. I mean, there's warnings and you'll get kicked out and fined right away. It could be early in the ball game. You can't have your pitcher. Whereas in my day, there wasn't much said. There wasn't a lot of jawing back and forth. Nothing in the press. It was, we'll handle things on the field,
sure,
which is where they should be handled. But in today's game, it's different. The umpires take control and you really can't handle things in the capacity that we used to do that. Well, that being said, I think that was a little much from a pitcher. Now, you never know the underlying circumstance. You never know the precursor. So I never sit there and judge and say, what's he doing? How dare he, whether it's a hitter or a pitcher, because I don't know the track record. I don't know what's gone on 6 months when nobody else and the cameras weren't watching. So obviously there's something going on with him and the and the Brewers, but I just don't know what it is.
If you're a pitcher, you're kind of supposed to get guys out. So when you strike someone out, to me, it's like celebrating a par on the golf course. Whereas if you're a hitter and you hit a home run, it's more like a birdie or an eagle.
I celebrate every par that I ever get.
Sometimes I'm celebrating bogey.
Okay, but let's say you're Scotty Scheffler and you're one of the best ever. You shouldn't be out there celebrating fist-pumping pars, but you can if it's a birdie or an eagle.
And it's like, you strike a guy out, sure, that's your job. That's what you're supposed to. You have the advantage. You have the ball.
Come on.
I don't buy that.
I don't know.
Well, all right. I'll give you an example. Early in my career, I come up to the big leagues. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. I'm happy to have a uni in my locker. I'm just trying to establish myself. And we're facing Oakland A's and we're facing Dennis Eckersley. And he comes in and he's Dennis Eckersley. He's a guy I've, grown up watching. I just see him on TV. Now I'm facing him and whoa, he's just as good as he looks on TV. And he's punches me out and he's shooting me with his finger guns and I don't like it, but it's like, what am I going to do about it? I got to hurt him. And when I mean hurt him, I mean, I got to get a big hit in a big situation to stop these finger guns. And, over the course of my career I started flipping my bat in probably early 2000s, and it started off as just a fun thing. But it was like, the reason I did it in the first place was I got shot down by a pitcher, and they did it some sort of dance, and it pissed me off to the point of the next time I got him, and I didn't know how to do it, but I kind of flipped my bat, and that's where that started. It was that was my way of getting back at that behavior, and then it became something that was a part of my swing. But I don't know. I just like taking care of business on the field.
Sure.
But when I look at that, unless there's something really big that none of us know about, yeah. I think Uribe in that position definitely crossed the line. But I think his manager, it's better nowadays just to handle it in. It's better always to handle it in-house and not air your dirty laundry. There's enough out there in the press that's going to be negative. I think when it comes to that, no matter how angry he was at Uribe, I think that's something you take care of behind closed doors and you squash it and whatever discipline he wants to give him, but not for public consumption. That's just my take. I didn't think it was that bad, what he said.
Talking to Brett Boone on our SDCCU fan hotline, it's not big bank banking, it's better. I got one for you, Booney.
Yeah,
so last night, Brandon Marsh gets picked off first on a back pick. Ty France tags him and bends his fingers back on the tag. He's out, hurts himself, right. Has to go out of the game. Nothing dirty about it. It's just a tag and just happened to be in a bad spot. When you, as a big league player, accidentally injure someone, whether it's on a tag or a slide or something like that, how do you feel when that happens? Like, what's your reaction?
I really don't have a feeling.
You don't. It's just part of the game.
Depends.
You can compartmentalize that. You don't apologize. You don't say anything.
Well, obviously, no. Okay. if it's a player, if it's a clean play,
yeah.
That's all I care. If it's clean,
no one was mad about it. For me, it'd be like, man, my instinct would be, oh, I'm sorry, I did that. Like
walking back to his own dugout.
I know. Yeah. I feel bad about it.
Absolutely, the human side of me. Yeah. I don't want to hurt anybody. Well, that's not true. I wanted to hurt people.
You wanted to hurt Dennis Eckersley.
But for the most part, no, we're out there playing a game and we're going to play this game hard, and hard sometimes comes with consequences. But no, if I ever injured somebody in any capacity, as long as it was now, if I did something a little, that I shouldn't have done and
aggressive
and hurt him, now I'd feel really bad. But if I just playing hard and everything's clean, that's a part of the game. I've been hurt on plays like that. Other people get hurt. And by the way, there's a lot of respect for playing the game right, doing it right, and injuries happen. There's respect there, and there's no problem from player to player. But yeah, the human side of you, when you see them walking away, you hate to see anybody miss time. This is their livelihood. This is their career. This is how they make their money. And yeah, I can't really compartmentalize and really let it affect me. But yeah, the human side of me, of course, it feels bad. I don't want to hurt anybody.
Talking to Brett Boone here on Ben and Woods this morning. Booney, why would anybody ever want to be a hitting coach ever? Who would aspire to be a hitting coach?
That's the craziest job in the world.
Yeah, it's got to be it's the worst job in baseball. It's got to be, period.
Well, because the thing about it is there's so little you can do. And, you know, the fans get out, well, they should fire him because he's not teaching these big leaguers how to hit. This is not 14U baseball. All you can do as a hitting coach is be a little part of it. As far as we overemphasize the mechanics of the swing, it's not about the mechanics of the swing. It's about getting your brain in a place to compete at 7 o'clock for 162 games in a row. And it's not about your back leg and your front hip. It's about you're a big league player. You've done this. You're here for a reason. You have technique. It's about getting yourself in a position to compete every night. And some nights that's with my A swing, and some days I got to go with my B swing. Some nights it's survival mode. I got to go with my C swing. But being a pro, being a big league hitter is knowing yourself. All I can do as a hitting coach is create a culture as good as I can and get you in the best position I can inside your brain, which is the most important thing. The mental thing supersedes technique and mechanics tenfold. Simplify when things get tough. Don't make it harder. Make it simpler. Maybe stay out of the cage. Maybe go out in BP, put your feet in the ground, in the grass, interact with your teammates, be boys for a minute, and get out of the analytical, just chasing that perfect swing. And I've got to be perfect in this. Back in 1997, I did this, and then in two. No, that's a mistake people make. They go too far back in their videos. And I did it. I was guilty of it. Let's watch 5 years. Well, I'm not that guy 5 years ago. I'm next guy now. How can I simplify as much as I can, get my mind in the best possible spot I can to go out and compete on a nice nightly basis? And I can't overemphasize enough. Know what swing you have. Be a PGA Tour player. Know if it's my A swing today, my B swing, or my C swing. Before the game, you'll know that. Take that into the game and compete, because you might get something done. You go with that A swing and it's not working, that's an automatic 0-for-4. But that B swing might get me a couple hits. I might hit a sack fly and I'd help my team win a game. Good thing with the Padres is they're scuffling. They're last in offense, but they're winning games. They're playing defense. They're pitching. And who would have thought with Pivetta and the Musgrove situation, Marquez going down, the fact that they're holding it together at this level, pretty darn impressive. Because, you know, I watched Manny and I watched Tatis last night, and Manny hit the homer, his ninth homer of the year. But, you know, I saw his next at bat when he walked. It was the most grinding Manny I've ever seen. You can tell he's like, I've got to get this. I saw Tatis hanging slider, hit a mediocre fly ball to left. But you can feel that, man, they're really grinding in there. Like, Tatis, this is weighing on him now, no homers.
Yep.
And I saw the look in his eye, and it's a different look. It wasn't that, oh, I just missed one. It was like, I want so bad to start doing well and hit a homer, get the monkey off his back. So there is an urgency there, but less is better. And when these times hit, man, if you can simplify and have that simple approach, things are going to be better. Because when these times and you're not swinging and you're last in offense and everybody's asking you about it, the tendency is to go the other way and just overanalyze everything. And really, that'll get you in a lot of trouble.
It's great stuff, man. Absolutely great stuff.
Quickly, Boone, Brett, I just want to know, how do the mechanics work as a hitting coach? Like, before the game, do you set a schedule for the guys? Do you wait for them to come up to you and say, hey, I'd like to do extra velo work, or I'd like to do extra soft toss? You know, how does that work before the game?
Well, everybody kind of has their own thing. And once again, I try not to get too much. I like the guys to hit together. You know, everybody today's game. I've got my warm-up plan. Well, how about you warm up with two other guys?
Sure.
So we have a little dialogue and we talk about other things other than your swing and how your back shoulder and this angle and the velo and the vert. Gosh, it bogs you down. Sometimes you just got to hit. You got to hit. You got to talk to other guys while you're hitting and watch other guys that might be swinging good right now. Go. You'll learn more from that than sitting on a computer and overanalyzing everything. So I would have a different approach. You know, if it's Marcus Semien, we're going to sit down before the game. We're going to go over a game plan for him. But that's different than it's going to be for Evan Carter, who's younger, doesn't have the experience, doesn't have the history with the pitcher facing tonight. So we're going to have a little bit of a different approach. We're going to talk about it. When the game starts, it's over. Now and we have our game plan. We go ahead and put that into play. Some days it works, some days it doesn't. But if you have a game plan, you don't waver, you stick to your game plan over 162, you're going to be the best player you can be individually, not collectively, but you individually. You just got to find out what that game plan is for the individual. And that's what I used to do on the daily with different players. Different answers for different players, different approaches for different players, but everybody's unique and you got to find what works for you. That's what's called being a real successful big leaguer is finding out you and what works for you.
Good stuff, Boney. We will talk to you again next Wednesday. Thank you.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks, guys.
Odyssey Insider Brett Boone brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.